Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Hello, America. Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging out with me today. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you. And you're going to be glad you did because we got our friend Prelo Alexander back with us. Prelo is a former Marine, an advertising veteran, a conservative, liberal, religious, gun nut wacko, he says. With anarchist leanings, he's the author of You Want Fries With That? A White-Collar Burnout Experience, Life at a Minimum Wage. And he's our friend, Prelo Alexander. Welcome back to the show.
Jim, thank you for having me, man.
It's good to have you back. What's going on in your world, Prelo?
Well, Jim, I have finished up with my book tour, and I'm back in my house in Charleston. And,
how'd that work out? How'd the book tour work out for you? What did you learn on the book tour?
Well, you know, I learned a number of things. $89, that's where the split occurs between sort of a nicer hotel and a hotel where Norman Bates could be running the place.
You know, one thing I want to point out here, and I think this is instructive for you to point out, a lot of people think that when you're a published author and you go on a book tour, that's like a vacation. But not only are you working, but you're working on your own dime. I mean, unless you're one of the top four or five authors, and maybe even then, I don't know for sure. But basically, you go on the book tour at your own expense, don't you?
Well, the thing that's funny is, you know, as somebody who had struggled for a number of years to get published, you know, that the book tour was the thing, man. I thought, when I make it, I'll go on book tour, and
people will line up for your signature, won't they?
Exactly. And so I'm going to these bookstores all over the Southeast, and I'd show up, and, you know, sometimes it'd be me and a couple of little old ladies, and we'd talk about my book, and they'd say, well, bless your heart, you know. And I did have a couple of really good events, and I was on C-SPAN Book TV.
Is that right?
For a rookie, that was very exciting, and that sold a bunch of books. And
congratulations!
Thank you. But you're out there, you know. It's sort of like running a small business. It's you counting the dimes and eating at IHOP, and not quite as sexy as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, that's been the experience that I've had. Many of my authors in our brain trust have gone on those tours and have come back and reported back. And you know, sometimes, I mean, I have known of them to go out there and be gone for 2-3 months on a book tour, traveling the country. And they thought, and folks, this is important for you to understand. When you hear about these things and you hear about Prelo and whoever else on their book tour, you know, they're writing the checks for that. And they're out there trying to sell books for the publisher so the publisher can sell some books and give them back a little bitty piece of the puzzle, of the pie, so to speak. And it's not glamorous. It's for most of us. I actually have never gone on a book signing tour, a book tour like that, Prelo. I had heard enough stories by folks like you. I decided that my ego couldn't stand it. and it was a time when my pocketbook couldn't stand it either.
Well, the thing that I was told, which it goes back to your the topic that that your radio show is all about, is it's about making relationships, developing relationships with the small business people who run bookstores. And if you take the time to go there and shake their hand and say hello and present yourself in a way that they say, well, you know, I actually like that guy.
Right.
Then it increases the chance of them reading the book.
Right.
And if they read the book and the book does its job by being good, then they'll refer it. And, you know, for a rookie author, that's where you hope to catch on.
Well, that's the thing that people don't, a lot of people, you know, maybe they don't take as seriously as they should. And that is the importance of making a connection with people, even in this you know, this digital age. You can still make connections, and of course, face to face is better. But even just an email saying, "Hey, thanks for carrying my book," or whatever the relationship may be, there's something about people being able to say, "Yeah, I know that guy. I met him. He sent me an email. He connected with me. He took the time to try to reach out to me." That's a big deal. And I keep coming back to this, Prelo, this quote that I picked up over 25 years ago. From John Nesbitt's book, Megatrends, he said, "Yes, we will have high tech, but we'll always want high touch."
I couldn't agree more. And Jim, one of the things that I have done was, in this electronic day and age, one of the most shocking things is to get a handwritten note from somebody.
Oh, yeah.
And so I followed up with all the bookstores that I went to and, you know, wrote them a note on stationery and said, "Look, I really appreciate you having me. And I recognize that if I'm going to succeed, it's going to be
right.
because of your assistance." And
well, and people, when people walk in a store like that, especially one of those, you know, private bookstores, a lot of times they walk in and they say, and the guy says, "Can I help you?" And they say, "Well, you know, I guess I'm looking for an interesting book, or I want to buy a gift for a friend, or whatever." I mean, if you've just been in there, you've just sent them a note, they're going to wander over to your book. They're going to say, "Hey, well, I don't know if this is what you want, but take a look at this guy. I met this guy. It helps."
Absolutely, and I think it helps. Back in my life as a small businessman, I mean, that was the key to the successes that I did. Enjoy, and when I failed, it was usually because I hadn't developed a relationship
yep.
with the client that was, you know, tight enough to where they thought, I can't fire him. He's not just my advertising guy. He's a close friend.
Well, and absolutely. And folks, our example that we're using is Prelo's book and the book tour. But everything that we've been talking about could just as easily be whatever it is that you sell, shoestrings or battleships or racket, tennis rackets or whatever it is that you sell. Just change the names and the items, and everything else is the same. 20 after, right back with Prelo Alexander. His book is called "You Want Fries With That?" I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I ate too many fries over the weekend. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. No barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come and hang out with us, use our stuff. And we have lots of stuff and some unique stuff. Most everything we have is unique. You won't find it anywhere else in the world. If you're a small business owner or want to be, we got stuff that'll help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Smallbusinessadvocate.com. And that's where you find the show and all the other things we do. And then our knowledge base, askjim.biz, where you get small business answers now. We're visiting with our friend Prelo Alexander. If you're Googling him, that's Prioleau. And then I think you can do Alexander on your own. And the origin of that name, Prelo, remind me?
It's one of those weird French Huguenot names.
That's really redundant, isn't it, Prelo? To say weird French.
No, the French Huguenots were a Protestant.
I know who the Huguenot. No, I said you said a weird French.
Oh yeah.
Huguenot name. I said that's redundant. Say weird French.
Yes, I couldn't agree more there.
Hey, let me tell you about a little customer care story that I experienced over the weekend. I was in a resort town over the weekend, as my audience knows. And on the way back, I wanted to get some fresh fish. I was on the coast. I wanted to get some fresh fish. So I stopped and I loaded up because I got a bunch of stuff. And I bought $300 worth of stuff. And I bring it home and freeze it. And you know, cook it, it's delicious. Anyway, so, and I give some of it away. So the young people who were waiting on me were very efficient and very helpful. But when I gave them my money, I'm not going to say that was the biggest purchase they'd ever had, but I looked around me. Nobody else was spending $300.
Right.
And whenever I got ready to leave, not one person said thank you. And my audience knows that's a big sticking point with me. And so as we walked out, I saw somebody who kind of looked like the manager. He was actually outside. And I stopped and he was talking to someone, and I stopped and waited for a second. He could see that I wanted to speak to him. I was looking at him. So he broke off his conversation and came over and he said, "Can I help you?" I said, "Are you the owner?" He said, "No, I'm the manager." And I said, "Okay." I said, "I want you to know that your people, your young people, were very helpful and very efficient." He said, "Good." And I said, "I just spent $300 with you." He said, "Thank you." And I said, "And that's the first time anybody said that to me." And he got it immediately. To his credit, he got it. He said, "Oh." He said, "Well, thank you for telling me that." It was obvious to him that was a lights on moment for him. He realized that even though he trained his people how to wait on people and how to get them what they wanted, it seemed to me that I could see in his eyes that he was saying to himself, "I didn't tell him to say thank you."
You know, Jim, I think that's why, obviously, that in especially in counter help and minimum wage jobs.
These young people were, because they were all very young, looked like they were in high school or college, and I suspect they were making minimum wage or very close to that.
You know what I observed in my year of work in minimum wage jobs is all too often the boss who is managing, and I put that in quotes, minimum wage workers, their attitude is that they're doing the minimum wage worker a favor by allowing that person to work at that job. And it sort of rubs off on the kids. And so they sort of feel like they're doing you, the customer, a favor.
Yep.
By getting the fish that you ordered.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because it goes back to nobody ever says thank you. Or, you know, if the boss was patting the kids on the back and saying, "Good job, you handled that transaction just right," then the kid is getting some reinforcement,
mm-hmm.
and he then pays that forward via his attitude. But if the minimum wage guy, regardless of whether it's counter help or what, is never getting the back slaps and the positive reinforcement, you know, that's I think that most surveys of Americans have said that positive feedback and praise is as important to them as their next raise. They want to feel like they're doing a good job. Even if they're mucking out a stable, they want somebody to notice that they're mucking out the stable, and they're willing to do a better job if they're going to be told
The thing, though, I think you're exactly right. Except you got to go. You can't presume, though, that just because you compliment them and thank them for a good job, that they're automatically going to convert that over to them needing to say that to the customer. I mean, you've got to be intentional about that, don't you? You got to say,
"Oh yes, sir."
You got to say, "Tell your customers right. Thank you. Thank our customers for their business, because that's where your paycheck comes from."
Right. And you know, I spent some time with my 17-year-old nephew over the holiday, and he is a bright, good, nice kid. Has wonderful manners.
Yep.
But the thing that I recollected in being with him is 17-year-olds don't think proactively the way adults do.
Yeah.
And you do have to train them and let them know exactly what you want them to do.
Give us your website, Prelo. Give us your website, Prelo, quickly.
southernfriedwriter.com.
All right. The book is called You Want Fries With That? It's available wherever books are sold and at that website. Thanks, Prelo. See you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.